with some notes. I tried to use only 3 pages, but no, we went for 4 pages.
Little one's going to collect the set for her. Little one's going to set.
Oh, yes. So, I believe that we were going to have a small audience, and yes, that's why I made only 12 copies.
We can share.
No, but we have plenty, even for the kids, because they know how to read, and how to eat. Okay, everybody has a copy? Very good. So, let's dissect this book. If you see, the first section goes from verse 1 through verse number 6, and it is the 1,000 years, the famous millennium. And let's read the notes. Verse number 1, the abyss. The Greek word for abyss means very deep or bottomless. It is conceived as a subterranean abode of evil spirits, demonic hordes, and Satan himself. 7 of the 9 New Testament references are in Revelation 7. In Revelation 9:1, the key to the shaft of the abyss was given to a fallen angel, perhaps Satan. Here, it is given to an angel coming down out of heaven. That means a good angel, who in addition is holding in his hand a great chain. For an interesting reference to the abyss, let's take a look at Luke, chapter 8, verse 31. And it says the following. Remember when Jesus Christ confronts the gathering, or Gerasene? Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" I am verse number 30. "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. Well, what a place has to be the abyss for the demons.
They not want to go.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's a good reference. So, reading verse number 1, chapter 20, Revelation, it says that, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain." Now, what was the purpose of that chain? Well, the angel seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. In our notes, it says that the chain was used to seize the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan. And if we go back to Revelation chapter 12, we can read verses 3 through 4, and it says the following, 3 through 4. "Then a little sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth," do you remember that, the woman? Mm-hmm. "So that he might devour her child the moment it was born." So this is the dragon. And in verse number 9, right there in chapter 12, the great dragon was hurled down that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Can I tell you? Okay.
All right. He was chained for 1,000 years and then he was released.
Okay, we will go to that.
Okay.
We will get there.
I'm too far.
Yeah, you are about 10 or 12 minutes ahead of me.
Okay.
But we will get there. One thing which is very interesting is the following. And that's why I am not that fond of Walt Disney. Because I believe that, unfortunately, Walt Disney is a conduit to project the, let's call it, the innocuous image of the dragon. Did you see? Sometimes the dragon is the best friend of the main character.
Puff the
magic
dragon. Have you heard? Puff the magic dragon.
That's right, Puff the magic dragon. And all these things about magic. And, you know, so what we have done with local Mialini, who happens to be my granddaughter, is no more Walt Disney. Because the message is right there. That everything is fine with the dragon. They can be a friend of yours.
Even their most recent movies, like the, what is the one with the frog? They're all about the bayou and what they do in New Orleans. It's all, already know what New Orleans is about.
I believe that we, unfortunately for our kids, we are in the process of brainwashing to make them believe that there is no problem, you know, dealing with the dragon and the magic and black magic and, you know, the whole nine yards. There are so many, films about the underworld. You remember that movie, The Underworld? And it's demons coming from the abyss and kind of good people fighting them, but at the end, you don't know who is the bad guy and who is the good guy.
One of my first movies that I realized that this is exactly what they were talking about was Legend. The Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah, Legend. Yeah.
Where he actually had to go down into the
But it was Tom Cruise, or it was the other fellow?
It was Tom Cruise. It was Tom Cruise, yeah. Believe it or not, it was Tom Cruise. He was a young boy. And he had to defeat these, but I can't remember what they called them, but he was all the appearances of Satan. But we portray as Satan with the horns and all. This is what this was. This was the monster that he had to defeat to get the girl out. She had fallen to the caverns with this so-called.
We're surrounded by all kind of. How do you say when if something is not offensive or aggressive or
subtleties,
and also plain and
you become desensitized.
Have you heard?
You become desensitized to things that are important. You know, anything goes. Desensitized.
Well, you know, it's. I believe it's more than that, and now it's not that subtle.
No, it's not.
It's plain, flagrant. Bold kind of message. There is no subtleties in many of these messages. Subliminally, perhaps, and you are an expert in that, in those matters, we are receiving those messages like saying, well, there is no harm. Harmless is the word I was looking for. No harm. They are good. They are fine.
It's a cartoon, you know. There's nothing wrong with a cartoon.
Oh, yeah? So
you teach your kid what's right and what's wrong, but when you're looking at it, you're seeing what the child sees, and subliminally, and people don't realize how subliminal these cartoons are. You don't even realize it, because that's why it's called subliminal.
Right.
You don't
it's
realize
getting
it.
There.
But there is an obvious subliminal messages in all these Disney movies. People don't realize it, and they want to think we're crazy. You're crazy. It's only a cartoon, but
it's only a movie from Walt Disney. Oh my goodness. Very, very good. Okay, note, the seven last things. This is interesting. Seven last things is in the notes. The seven last things are, one, the return of Christ, Revelation 19, 11 to 21. We saw that. Do you remember the rider of the white horse, Jesus Christ himself? And that was the battle of Armageddon. Not this one we are going to see. Okay, number two, the defeat of Satan, we are looking at that. Number three, the binding of Satan, we are looking at that. Number four, the millennium, We will discuss that. Number five, the final end of Satan. Number six, the last judgment. Number seven, we're not going to see that, but until chapter 21 and 22, the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. So we are at the end of Revelation. And those are the last seven things of Revelation. Now, let's compare Revelation 21 through 3, what we have read, Revelation 21 through 3, we have read that, with Revelation 12, 7, 9, 10. Revelation 7, 9 through 10. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought back against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So he was hurled down the earth, and that's why it is said that he is the prince of this world.
Is that the 1,000 years then?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, this is even before something.
Before it was chained up then.
Yeah. It is before even the fall of man in paradise. This battle.
Okay, this battle.
This battle.
Yes.
You know what we are looking here. It says, and there was war in heaven. Okay, Michael, who happens to be the prince angel defending the Israelites. Okay, and also Revelation 13, verse 14. It says the following. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. Here we are talking about the false prophet. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, the first beast, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And finally, Revelation 18:23c. Revelation 18, verse 23c. It says the following. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. Now, who is the main deceiver of the world? And we're talking about this kind of movies, you know. Who is the main deceiver in the world?
Satan.
Okay. Who is the main accuser of the saints?
Satan.
Who is the archi-enemy of the saints?
Satan.
The binding of Satan removes his deceptive activity among the nations. The binding refers to an early situation. Thus, and this is very important, the 1,000 years most probably refers to an earthly situation. Let's read verses 4 through 6 again. Verses 4 through 6 in chapter 20. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They have not worshipped the beast or his image, and have not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life, and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, for your help, I tried to depict a graph. Go to the last page, because otherwise we can get lost. And this is what I have interpreted of these readings. The saints and the wicked, meaning the sinners, non-repentant sinners, all of them, all of us, what happened with us? We are born. So first birth. However, the believers, the saints, believe in and follow Christ. However, the wicked are unrepentant and live a life, wicked life on earth. And what happened? There are two guarantees. Am I correct, CJ? You pay taxes and you die. So everybody dies. Okay, bodily death. Now, what happened when Christ comes again? And when is that in our book, Christ comes again? Well, in chapter 19, do you remember the rider on the white horse? Verses 11 through 21st. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the Lord comes, and then we have the first resurrection of whom? The saints. If you see here in Revelation 20, it says that verse number 4c, they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And this is called what? The first resurrection. Are you with me?
Okay.
So the saints, yes.
Are you reading verse?
I'm reading.
The souls of those who have been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Because
and
of the people reigning, right?
Yes. Number 5, yes. In Revelation 20, it says the rest of them did not come to life until the 1,000 years ended. So when we finish the millennium, then we will have the second resurrection, which belongs to the wicked.
But if the first resurrection, which is what we're talking about now,
yes,
is for 1,000 years, can that also be the equivalent of the... I'm trying to answer myself right now.
It's a little confusing, but let's check the graph.
Can I just ask a question?
Okay, yes,
so
please.
The first resurrection are those who were beheaded and didn't take the mark of the beast. Is that correct?
Okay.
Those
are the guys. It's very good, your question. Let me tell you why. Who are the dead in Revelation 20, 12 to 13? Excuse me, before that, excuse me. I jumped. Okay. Let's go back to page number 2 in my notes, verses 4 through 6. The 1,000 years reign of Christ on the earth. Compare with Daniel 7, 9, 22, and 27. We're going to do that. We're going to take time to go to Daniel, because he will shed some light into this. We're talking about Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, our friend, we have studied his book. And in verse number 9, we read, as I look, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. This is the vision of Daniel. Verse 22 in that chapter. It says, from the 21, as I watched this horn is the Antichrist, was waging war against the saints and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. This is the millennium kingdom, or the millennial kingdom. And on verse 27, in Daniel 7, it says, then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed to whom?
The saints.
the saints, the people of the Most High, His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey Him. So, to answer your question, yes. Let me read according to what the commentator says. It says here, and I saw the soul, I am again on chapter 20, verse number 4. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus, and also those who did not worship the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. What it's saying, that the commentator is saying, not only the beheaded, but also those that didn't accept the mark.
But you realize that the Bible doesn't say hands, right?
Okay, I didn't bring the commentator. And the translation from the Greek, the New International Version, skips the word "and also." So, somehow. But I would like to believe that those who are going to be reigning are not only those who were decapitated, but also those who didn't accept two things: worship the image and accepting the mark of the Antichrist. If you read the whole, with care, the whole passage, and you read the references, like in Daniel, doesn't say only those who were decapitated. We can go back. Are you with me?
I am. I'm just.
Yeah, that it. Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to modify the what is the scripture. I am just telling you what, according to the scholars, was missing in the translation. But let's read again Daniel 7. And verse 22. Daniel 7, 22. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them. And then on 29, it says, 27. On 27, it says, then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms of the whole heaven will be handed over to some point. I don't know about the chronology, but I know that we will be reigning, even if we are not decapitated. Now, if we are called the first fruits of the people of God, if we are decapitated. And we might.
Question.
Especially the young fellows might be around here.
Then all of this is after the resurrection, after the rapture?
Okay, good question.
Because there's nothing about the rapture here.
No.
It talks about once he's dominating the whole world and cutting our heads off and what about the thousand that are reigning with Christ? Is that the ones who are
going to
the
clarify
rapture?
That. You see, and you're right. There's nothing in this chapter, not even in chapter 19, explained clearly, and the saints were raptured before the beast decapitated them. Well, it doesn't say that.
Well, no, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of decapitated people, but I guess maybe I should read deeper if I can to really understand that when he's talking about a rapture, he's talking about during this same time, not necessarily before it happens.
Yeah, we are going to see a table which includes the rapture and what are the four different interpretations and when that occurs, okay? So hold about
okay.
The rapture.
Slow down.
We are talking about now that we will reign and we will be priests, both priests and kings over the earth as we know it. Before we have a new earth and a new heaven. That's why we're talking about the millennium. Very good. It says here in my notes, the 1,000 years reign of Christ on earth, compare with Daniel and Luke 22:30. Let's look at Luke. Luke 22:30. Find it, read it. Luke 22:30 says about,
so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay, and he's talking of saying these things to whom? The disciples. Yeah, it is Luke 22:30, beginning with 29. And I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me. This is Jesus. So that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is the message to the 12 disciples. Okay, let me continue here in my notes. Those who were once judges, judged by earth's courts to be worthy of death, are now the judges of the earth under Christ. But who are they? Well, they are the beheaded or slain, Revelation 6:9, if you want to know why they were beheaded, and those who did not worship the beast or his image or receive his mark on them. Revelation 13:7-15 and Revelation 15:2. Let me move. The kingdom reign will be shared by every believer who overcomes. You can see that in the letters to the churches. Revelation 2:26-28. Revelation 3:12-21. And is purchased by Christ's blood in Revelation 5:10. The term souls, Revelation 6:9, is used to describe those who have lost their bodily life, but are nevertheless still alive in God's sight. They came to life means they're coming to bodily life again at the first resurrection. Although there is not a direct reference to a second resurrection, it is inferred from the expression, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. These were destined to the second death in the lake of fire, Revelation 20:14-15. Contrary to those who have part in the first resurrection. And there are two notes, if you see. The rise to be condemned in John 5:29 refers to the second resurrection, and the second death is established in Revelation 2:11. Now, why 1,000 years? Why 1,000 years? Is that a precise number? No. Let me read this. 1,000 years is symbolic of a perfect period of time of whatever length. You remember Psalms, Psalm 94? Let's read it, because it's substantial. Everything is substantial in the Bible, but this one is very crucial. For 1,000 years in your sight are like what?
Okay.
A day that has just gone by. Or like a watch in the night. So 1,000 years might be a day, or a day might be 1,000 years. Are you with me? Very good. All the kingdom on the earth before the final judgment and the new heaven and the new earth, this is the premillennialism view. Now we are going to study in 5 minutes what is premillennialism, what is amillennialism, and what is postmillennialism. Okay. Premillennialism view. Christ's second coming initiates his 1,000-year reign on earth before the final removal of Satan. And that is depicted in that graph that I included on page 4. If you see, The millennium begins with the first resurrection, and Satan is bound and thrown into the abyss. Okay? So, when does that end? After the millennium is completed, then Satan is released for a final deception of the nations. Then Satan is thrown into the lake of burning sulfur forever and ever. Then the wicked are resurrected to confront the great white throne of judgment, and they have a second death, eternal death in hell, eternal punishment. Now, the saints who were purchased by the blood of Christ go from the first resurrection through the millennium, they go to the great white throne of judgment, but be judged for rewards, not for condemnation. And they go, they receive the pronouncement, you are innocent because of the blood of Christ, and they will live forever and ever in heaven. Are you with me?
Yeah, okay. Can I?
Sure.
Well, I think just about the 1,000-year thing, when you read it, it says, to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. I think he's saying that, talking about what it is like to God, and saying God is he's describing God as outside of time, but I do think that, you know, if God says 144,000, he doesn't mean a bunch. If he says he's going to rise in 3 days, he means 3 days. He doesn't mean 3,000 years. So I think that, you know, when God says something, I do believe that. I mean, don't you think he means it?
But in what concept of time?
Well, yeah, I mean, God is the creator of time as well. But I do think that if he says something, I think he means it, and he's going to stick to it.
Yeah, I stick to it.
If he throws out a number, he's throwing it out because he wants us to know that he's true to himself and he's going to do exactly what he says. Not, you know what I mean? That he's not messing with our minds. He says what he says and he means it. So
I'm glad that you made that comment, because it is impossible for men to fathom the mind of God.
Right.
Yeah. You
also, I don't attend. And he says things, and remember that there is a lot of symbolism in Revelation. Mm. A lot of symbolism. Because if we were very literal, we would be like this guy who announced that the world was coming to an end.
And then, exactly.
They count the numbers, and they, you know, they kind of locate the spaces and the geography, and they begin to say that Gog and Magog are the Russians and the Chinese, and the 200 million riders will be killed, and that the blood of those will get to the bridle of the horses. And we begin to write a movie.
Well, that's why.
But it is not there.
The problem is if you talk to them, which we did, is that they take God's word not for what it says, and that's where we get into dangerous ground, is when we look at God's word and kind of throw out interpretations that are not right there in God's word, which is true and reliable. And I think when God is making symbolism, it's very clear that he'll say, like, he was like a white horse, or he was like blazing eyes of fire. So he is very clear when it's metaphorical. God is not a chicken. But he's trying to get us to understand what he's like. And so when he says, this is what's going to happen, he's not being foo-foo. He's being matter of fact. So I just don't
know. No, it's going to happen. Now, the exact number of days, the exact number of years, the exact number of the 144, if they are going to be 144, let me tell you.
Because a lot of us aren't going to make it.
We better get our ticket. Because if they are only, they are going to be only 144,000 praising the Lord in that multitude, and we don't see that there is another multitude coming to praise the Lord, so
there is. If you look at that scripture, that even refers to that. There is a special number that's Jewish. You get 12 from here, 12 from here. God is very specific, because that when God is specific with what he says, that's why prophecy
he's so phenomenal is because he's specific in what he says. And so the 144,000 is specific for his own glory, that he's got specific things in mind. And then if you look at that verse, it says, and there was a great multitude worshiping God. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely not 144,000 get a ticket, that's it. So they're definitely both in that verse.
Yeah. And if you read that portion of the Bible talking about 144,000, even though he refers to the tribes of Israel, okay, at the beginning he's not saying, well, they are only the Jews. You said that, that they are the Jewish. We can review that.
Oh, okay.
No, but I agree with you that we cannot ourselves play with what the Bible says. Bible says something. In our finite mind, we try to understand. And some, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, have a better vision of what we are reading. By the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
I think the Holy Spirit is what helps us make it clear, understand
sure,
it, natural
sure. Which is not apportioned in the same measure to everybody. Do you agree with that? And that's biblical.
It's available.
It's available. Yeah. Sometimes, and this, it is not that we receive quotas of the Holy Spirit. No. Holy Spirit is one, as the Bible says. It's available. But are we allowing the Holy Spirit with our life, our thoughts, our actions to have His ministry in our lives? Well, that's why we have volition. We have free choice, and we stumble with our flesh and the struggles in the world. But going back to this thing, so do you believe that if it says 1,000 years, it's the years that the human being or the Western world believes? Because the Mayas had another conception of what was a year, the Jewish had another conception, you know what I mean?
I understand that. From my understanding, when God, when He makes prophecies or says things that are specific, He follows through on what He specifically says.
Oh, yeah. We agree completely.
That's my understanding of when God says something specific, He follows through on it.
But you also have to realize.
No, but let me, because that's an important thing. Because when we began to study Revelation, we said there is a lot of symbolism and allegories. But my question specific is, do you believe then that 1,000 years are 1,000 years as we understand a year?
Okay, I didn't read in there that God annihilated time as we know it. So He can, because He's God.
Well, He can do everything.
He can
but
do
what,
anything.
What we understand.
But I'm saying, as far as reading it for face value, 1,000 years would be 1,000 years, like how it's always meant in the Bible.
Then what would Psalm 9 for me then?
Okay, but what is the measure of time?
What do you mean, what time?
Yeah, 1,000 years is 1,000 years, but
that's for us though.
No. But 1,000 years, what kind of year?
Well, I think, when He made prophecies, like in Daniel, when he was going to come in, he wrote down, the specific day that He was actually going to come in. So, there are times when God is very specific. And so you're asking me, do I think that 1,000 years is 1,000 years? I think that God said it's 1,000 years. I think it's 1,000 years.
Okay, if it takes 1,000 years, but what is meaning for you?
Well, I think the way that God put the system into place right now is, a year and four seasons, 365 days is how a year functions.
But that's not God's year.
Well,
that's our year.
It's a good discussion. It's a good discussion because that represents a problem. That's why, this pastor established that exact day the world was going to end. He didn't. Didn't, because he was following this concept that of exactitude of things, of precision of things, in his mind. And that represents a danger because who knows the hour and the time the Lord Jesus Christ is coming.
So if you take God's word at face value, if someone's thrown out dates, you already know that this, you know, whatever date he throws out with whatever numbers he gathers from over here and over there, you know, it's going to be off because of God's word. But if God gives us something specific in the word, we can't hold on to it.
No, but it's a good discussion because, for example, in Daniel, he talks about 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Well, that means 7 days. Of what length?
Right.
24 hours, as we understand? I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so. I think that it is precisely a prophecy. I believe it's going to happen, but I cannot fathom his mind through Daniel explaining what is a week. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. 7 days of 24 hours every week.
But that's
can I
time.
Throw something
that's
out? I mean, it's something that's coming to my mind, is that we define a year as the time that the earth goes around the sun. Mm-hmm. But God is the God of the universe, and that distance, that time is somewhere else, you know, a very different time. So 1,000 years, even on in our solar system on another planet, is different than our 1,000 years on Earth. And so that, for us to put that together, it's, I think that in John's revelation that he's putting out a long time. You know, 1,000 years that, you know, that we can't imagine living that long. And then, I mean, we won't live that long. And then, but Jesus is going to reign for that period of time. And he's going to say that that's going to be a long time for them to work this out, that God's plan is to show that part. And I don't know that we can define that 1,000 years is 1,000 God years. You know, if that's the right word to put it.
But I'm going back to the Bible.
Yeah.
And through the Bible, and I agree with you, I take the Bible literally.
Yeah.
But I have to understand what the Bible says here. For 1,000 years in your sight, O Lord, I added the O Lord just to make sure that we're talking about, are like a day that has just gone by.
Yeah. So that means
so
just
probably the
1,000 years
is 1,000 days, according to this, to the Bible.
And the 3 days that Jesus was risen the dead could have been 3,000 years.
No.
Yeah, but Jesus
he was
human.
No.
Jesus was a man.
No.
That was
no,
the difference.
No. It's different. That's not prophecy. That is a reality. Let me figure it out. That is a reality. And you know, that it's interesting. This is very interesting. Because how those days were measured with the Jewish calendar, not our Western calendar.
Exactly.
So it was different.
Absolutely.
When it says 3 days, and you say in the Western mind and the Western way of calculating time, it says, no, it was only two days and a half. What happened?
Right.
3 days.
And my point is that just if God says 1,000 years, he means 1,000 years. If he decides to hold everything still and that 1,000 years lasts 1,000,000 years, you know, that's his business. But I'm just saying, if he says 1,000 years, he means it. That's all I'm saying.
But what kind of year?
Yeah.
That's a point.
That's what she's saying.
Point.
I think that's what she's saying as well. Is
yes.
That year is 1,000 years.
No, but okay.
Discussion.
It's good. Very good.
I've always wanted to do a full day seminar on that. But I'll try to keep it free. If you're looking at the 3 days, that is man looking at an event that happened on Earth. So it is 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're looking at God, and you're looking here, if you look to the horizon, your vision goes like this. So when we're looking here to heaven, our vision is this way. But God's view is the exact opposite. And so he's looking this way, where we're the wider end of that spectrum.
Right, but he's
so
outside
1,000
of it.
Years,
he's not confined to it like we are.
1,000 years to him can be up to 6 million years, which if you take that point of view, you've just explained how dinosaurs and man existed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the point of view. We're looking up, he's looking down. It's completely opposite refractions.
A good way to really try to really sink in our mind, you send an astronaut out into space, you can send him out for 10, 15 years. He's not going to come back looking 10, 15 years older. There's no time out there. He's going to come back the same as when he first got on a plane, got on a ship. Because there's no time out there.
Right, that's right.
Okay? So it doesn't happen. There's no time. Which is exactly how I look at it with that. There's no time. There's no time whatsoever. He says 1,000 years, and it says here in Psalm 90, 1,000 is as a blink, as a day. Okay, so I understand what it means, but
I think 1,000
of his years is not 1,000 of our years.
Right, okay.
Our years are man-made years.
I think that we are in agreement. Let me tell you why. Because we take the Bible literally, not literally, I should say. We take the Bible as the truth and the Word of God. Now, I cannot fathom again the mind of God. Because there are some things here that I would like to interpret them according to my engineering mind. I have a formation in engineering. But when I see some things, according to my basic knowledge of engineering, doesn't make sense. Some others make very good sense, like the length of the Noah's Ark. They say, well, it was a tremendous work of engineering. You know what I'm talking about? Or the measure of the temple, the new temple.
Very specific.
Okay. But at the same time, I cannot attempt to dictate to God what I understand. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I cannot dictate. I cannot say, no, it's that you should have given Daniel this sort of vision or to John this sort of vision. No. The only thing I can say is, this is your word. I respect it. I will follow it. And most importantly, am I following Christ? Because this is from the first page to the end. This is the plan of God in Jesus Christ. And with that, do you agree?
I agree that God is true to his word.
Have you heard?
I agree that God is true to his word, and he means what he says.
Sure.
Amen.
Okay, because we have only like 5 minutes, if you allow me to have that.
Overtime.
Don't lose this, because it's very important. Okay, we have, and you know, God is so patient and tolerant that allows Christians to study his word and try to interpret it. So, he is so patient and compassionate that you will see here that at least there are 4 different points of view regarding that 1,000 years. Okay, let me just review these quickly. In the headings, you find categories, meaning categories of events. Then, 4 columns, major columns for amillennialism, postmillennialism, historical premillennialism, dispensational premillennialism. And Sharon,
yes.
Precisely, second coming of Christ.
Yes.
Okay, amillennialism says single event, no distinction between rapture and second coming, introduces eternal state. Postmillennialism says single event, no distinction between rapture and second coming. Christ returns after the millennium. Historic premillennialism, rapture and second coming. Simultaneous, Christ returns to reign on earth. And finally, dispensational premillennialism, second coming in 2 phases, rapture of a church and second coming to earth 7 years later. Okay? That's right.
Okay.
So if you see the diagram, without following strictly the historic premillennialism, my interpretation fits with that column. Why? Well, first of all, because the rapture and second coming are simultaneous. So if you see that in the graph, Christ's second coming, we could add there the rapture if we agree with that. Now, Christ returns to reign on earth, yes, through the millennium. And if you see, let's see, millennium in the categories, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the five line millennium. The historic premillennialism says millennium is both present and future. Christ is reigning in heaven, millennium not necessarily 1,000 years. Dispensational premillennialism. At second coming, Christ inaugurates literal 1,000-year millennium on earth. So you can see that in that respect, your interpretation is more on the dispensational premillennialism, talking about the millennium. At second coming, Christ inaugurates literal 1,000 years millennium on earth. So, you know, there are several interpretations. There are several commentaries. I invite you to continue reading the notes. And next time, we will have a nice discussion about chapter 20 and chapter 21. Is that okay?